Designated Spitters, where we tell you like it is. That's what we do over here, baby. Francis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's up, brother? What's up, brother? We want to start out, top of the show. Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there, and especially to the grandmothers. Especially to the grandmothers. Happy Mother's Day, man, to the abuelitas. You know your boy Francis is out here. We do this show is for you, baby.
The show is for all the mothers out there. I was kind of, they took it the wrong way, right? Because during game season, I said, shout out to all the beautiful mothers out there. And I was like, even the ugly ones, you know, we, but here's what I meant by that, Francis. I told everybody, I said, you guys are taking this in the wrong way. You're taking it as I'm physically calling them ugly. There's some ugly mothers out there that are mean and bad to their children, but they still brought them in the planet. That's all I'm saying.
Hey. You know what I'm saying? And you're not excluding them.
No, exactly.
Shouldn't people be happy with the inclusion? I mean, look at how far we've come.
Well, what I was planning on doing was I was going to tweet me on a fake account and be like, how dare you say that about ugly mothers, but I don't do those things. I happen to be what you call a man. There's nuts between these legs, baby. My face is on everything I do. Unlike many people we know, but anyway.
Exactly.
We will move forward. Rah-rah, what's going on, my brother Caleb Castro? Scotty Wright, Bronx Bomber, my guy Joe. What's good, fam? I'm tired. I'm not tired. That's the name. I'm tired, okay? Every day, Scotty Wright, Zap Sigma, Doreen, John Scardino. We got everybody in here tonight. Scott Horwitt, Macho King, Lois Simmons. Guys, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Designated Spitters. Francis?
Yeah.
These New York Yankees, man, they look like they're maybe really starting to come alive offensively. And we're going to start seeing the duo of Soto and Judge back-to-back smacking the baseball.
Oh, yeah. This was a phenomenal weekend series. To be honest with you, man, I don't think there's any better way to put it. Like, the offense coming alive is probably the headline right now.
Easy.
Right?
And easy.
I mean, even – I want to say, right, just from the outset, even in a series where Soto goes 0-for, right, because Soto did not.
Yeah, he didn't do much. Yeah.
Soto did not have a hit this series. He didn't really do much. But, like, again, it just speaks to the greatness that is Juan Soto. Like, even when he is quote-unquote bad, he still finds himself, like, in the mix of everything.
Yep. Sack fly. Like, it's crazy. He started the game.
He's sack fly to start the game. He's on base. He's scoring runs. Like, even when he's having a bad series and – It's. I mean, again, bad series. Some people say, he went 0-for. These things happen. Of course they do. I'm not bashing Soto here. I'm just, you know, this thing's out. He had a rough series down at the Trop. And oddly enough, it's to be expected, I think, if we're, you know, with Soto going forward. Man. You know, I was looking into it. He doesn't have like a long history of playing at the Trop at all. Like,
right.
At all.
I would assume so.
That makes sense, right? He was a National, then he went to the Padres.
Yeah.
So, look, if you don't play often at the Trop, bro, it's going to take you a while to get your sea legs down there in Tampa.
Yeah, it's what a I call it the dump. It's the dump. Forget the Trop. It's literally called the dump.
Literally.
You know? He calls it the dump. Real quick. You know what's a shame on baseball? The cesspool is right there. It's all the same, right? You know what's a shame on baseball?
Yeah.
For those guys to rock those nice-ass jerseys and go ahead and be using them in the dump of all places, get these dudes a stadium, fam. Get these dudes a stadium.
You want to know what's funny? It's crazy, right, that you say that. Because the MLB silently acknowledged what you're saying. So Because of the situation with the Rays and where they play and how things look when you're playing in the Trop, because I don't even know if people realize, but even the broadcast and the telecast, it looks completely different. I mean, the top is white. It's rough.
The quality's not as good.
It's just
if you
not.
Notice, you could if anybody's watching on game on MLB TV, you could switch over broadcast, see the difference on YES compared to the ones they use. It's night and day.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
So MLB realizing this, right? The Rays are the first team that are actually taking their City Connects on the road. they're taking their City Connects on the road. Damn. I'm not joking. This is a real thing. Every other team so far who has gotten the City Connects, they wear them at home during specific dates throughout the year, and it's a home thing, like they wear it in front of their fans. That's it, pretty much. Because it's to connect with your city, so that makes sense, right?
Course.
Why Obviously, would you take it on the road? Well, the Rays are taking it on the road because they want people to see what they look like outside of the Trop. And this is not, I'm not making this
They're
up.
Like, we promise these shits are fire. In here, it might not look it.
Exactly.
But on the road, you wait and see.
They're like, yo, trust us. Trust us. Just wait till you see it in sunlight. I promise you.
The craziest thing about it is, too, and look, I'm showing a little love to the Rays here because even the vintage.
Oh, the one they wore Friday?
They're fire, bro.
Oh, my God. Look, call a spade a spade. Right, the Rays have some beautiful uniforms.
100%. Their regular uniform is the worst one.
Probably right. The you're talking about the white with just the navy blue.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not like those other ones. Not at all.
Compared to the other ones, when they wear the light blue with the white pants, so the powder blue with the white pants, that's a baseball vintage look. The ones they wore Friday, those are my favorite ones by far. Those are fire. If I wasn't a diehard Yankee fan and I'd rather be caught dead than wearing a Rays jersey, I probably would have one of those.
Yeah, I've never.
Because it's a gorgeous jersey.
I've never put another jersey on this body, by the way.
But I'm sorry, buddy. I can't do it. But shouts out to them. They got some good-looking jerseys, and they 100%. Just doubled down with their City Connect. The City Connect jersey is fire, but, I mean, in the Trop.
In the dump, it just downgrades everything. It doesn't matter what it is. So besides Yandy Diaz and Isaac Paredes against the Yankees, like they play them, it's guaranteed to get a couple of hits. And even I'll be honest, and I know this is obviously not a Rays podcast, but it's kind of strange to see how a couple of those guys are really struggling. You know, Yandy Diaz, even though he's hitting 240, I think he has like a 6-something OPS only. Not Yandy Diaz. I said this today.
No, he's
if
not
you
himself.
Got biceps the size of Yandy Diaz, there's no way you should have a 650 OPS. You gotta be 750 plus mandatory.
And let's be honest, you're hitting leadoff. Like Yandy Diaz has you know every opportunity pretty much every game to you know he's getting at bats is what we're saying, like he's been out there.
Of course,
it's not that he you know because sometimes you know he's had injuries in the past where you're like, oh well, give him some time. He had a horrible April, Randy Arozarena. Yeah.
Horrible April, bro.
Like, I mean,
he homered and his average went up like 11 points. That's it. I'm
literally,
like, damn.
No, listen,
sitting 170 after doing all this.
He has always been like a free swinger, which. I mean, I got to be honest with you. As a Yankee fan, I love it. You know, swing freely, my friend. But the way that he's striking out this year, I mean, there's something
crazy
about those strikeouts. And like Pete said, it's not a Rays podcast, but I mean, it is a Yankees pod, and they're in our division, so we break them down. They don't feel like something's off.
It is definitely off this year, no doubt.
It's not just that they're losing, Pete. They don't look like they're not playing Rays baseball. This is my thing. They're not playing Rays baseball. They're making stupid outs on the base pass. Yeah. The defense looks shitty. Like it doesn't feel like a Kevin Cash Tampa Bay Rays team.
Agreed.
It's just I don't know.
Got some good players on there. Palacios is a guy that, man, I would love to be able to insert that guy in our lineup. He looks like he's gonna be a good young player.
And every time Paredes plays us, he looks excellent. Amazing.
So good. He's having a great year too.
Jose Siri is a little bit annoying and overrated in my opinion, but I know some people are high on him. They just got Josh Lowe back. He's pretty
good.
He's a good player. So that'll help them, a little bit probably down the stretch, but. Listen, if they don't figure it out, let me tell you, I know two guys who aren't losing sleep over it.
Facts. 100%. No sleep being lost. I put it that way. Got a couple of super chats to get to.
Thank you for being a friend.
Bum, 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 bum. Connor O'Neill says, Glaber shut me up. He looked at two pitches down the middle. I told my brother and wife, here goes him chasing in the dirt, and he went three-run jack job. I want to talk about that at bat. Rod Thompson with a super chat says, Pete, talking to my punk brother. I love Mike and Rod's relationship. They crack me up. After the game, he strongly believes Glaber is just too emotional after listening to his post-game comments. Is Glaber in his own way? Thoughts, Francis? How was bingo tonight?
Mother's Day bingo is a different animal, so I can't even say that on a live broadcast.
Yeah, you gotta be careful what you say on
I'll
that
I'll text
one,
you on the side about that one, Rob.
Yeah, you got kids in the chat. You never know what they'll have with bingo with the old ladies on Mother's Day. Forget about it. But I do want to talk about Gleyber Torres a little bit, because when he came up in that situation, okay, I said it right there. I said, Gleyber is going to do something here. And I even gave the reason why he's going to do something. I said, because he's been struggling so bad, his mindset is only thinking one thing here, put the ball in play. That's the only thing. And you want to know how you know it's true? Did you see that easy swing he took?
Yep.
It wasn't a Gleyber Torres power, I got to hit a bomb. It was foot down, just let the barrel meet the ball. And what happened? He homers. Of all things, he homers. And the chat would tell you. The pitch before, I said, he's going to do something. I know it. Boom. Yeah. Home run. He took a light, easy cut, barrel to the ball, let it meet, see what happens. I feel like in that situation, he's been so bad that his mind was only thinking, I just have to put the ball in play. That's it. That's all I got to do here. Figure out a way to put the ball in play.
Second and third, one out. So even if if he hit a sacrifice fly, he would have scored a run, and that would have felt like a victory to him.
Yeah, of course.
So,
of course.
And I think I'm pretty sure in the clip that went out on Twitter, you hear it at the beginning of the clip, you saying he's going to do something here.
Yeah, I knew it. I kept saying it. They'll tell you in the chat. I said it the whole time.
And he hits the home run. But, you know, you're right. Look, I think Ra's brother Mike is 100% spot on.
And, I agree.
And it's something that Pete has been saying for a while. I've also echoed this sentiment. You know, we know this about Glaber, though. I think it's been super obvious. I mean, whether you go back to the IG stories a couple years ago,
when he was getting traded, right? When there was the trade rumors and stuff.
The trade rumors and stuff. And you saw him start to post little things here or there. And, you know, you'll have your detractors that say, oh, that wasn't that. But it's like, we're not stupid. We're not dumb. Okay. Look. Does it shock me, though? Should it shock anybody that Gleyber Torres, of this generation, is an emotional dude? Like, no.
No, it shouldn't. Not
sorry.
At all.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, he's what, 25? That sounds right to me.
Go back to the Marcus Thames interview.
Yeah.
I mean, they scrubbed that off the internet.
Yeah.
Yes. I tell people this all the time. And the funniest thing about all this stuff I'm not gonna speak for the team here. I'll speak for me. Mm-hmm. Funniest stuff about a lot of things I say, it's been confirmed by the Yankees themselves. Okay, right? Aaron Boone doesn't hold players accountable. What came out this offseason? Yankee officials said Boone needs to be tougher. They may need to get an enforcer because Aaron Boone doesn't do it. Blah, blah, blah. These are not Pete's words. These are their words. Gleyber Torres, that interview came out, and I said, I can't fucking believe this is real. These are two grown... The interview, folks, I don't know if you could still find it, but you could look it up. It was a Marcus Thames interview.
They tried to scrub
Marcus
that one.
Marcus Thames flat out said, we sit there and we tell him, you're the only guy we have. You're the best shortstop in the league. You can do this. You're the best. You're the best shortstop there is. There's nobody better than you. That's the way they tried to, give him the motivation to be better at shortstop. They didn't simply go, bro, come on, I got to get better. Let's get you to work on the field more. Let's sit you a couple of days. Let's get you some BP out here. Let's get you some practice in the infield. None of that. It was positive reinforcement, and that is it. Nothing else with it. This is the hitting coach of the Yankees who said this, not Pete Simonetti.
No. Again, this stuff is out there, bro. You can Google it. I feel like, people, again, once there's a narrative established, whether it be about players or teams or even us and what we do, right? People just run with that. Look, Glaber's situation, like I said, has been public knowledge for a long time now. You know that the guy is between the ears, right?
100%. Yep.
every time he's struggling, every time there's a problem, whether it's with the glove or the bat, it's between the ears. Yep. Because, and why do we, and when we say that, that should be telling people that it's not that we want to bash Gleyber Torres. It's not that we don't like him. It's not that he ran over our dog or, you know, stole our high school sweetheart from us and we're like bitter. No. When we say that he has a problem between the ears, that means that we believe that the physical skill and talent is there.
100%. 100%.
We've been saying this forever. 100%. Because if he was just ass, like physically, we wouldn't even really give him much airtime because what's the point? He's not good. Like, he's just, he doesn't have it. Like, I mean, and you could go back to the way we covered players like Joey Gallo when he was here, or Aaron Hicks, stuff like that. Yeah. Those guys that physically just, they didn't have it.
I got yelled about physically. That too today, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, about Joey Gallo. Because I literally posted, and I wasn't even attacking him. I literally put out a tweet. Guys, they've been coming at me, the damn positive reinforcement nerds. They don't stop. The ones that hide, you know, they hide behind fake Twitter accounts.
The pins.
They were coming at me like you can't believe. I literally tweeted something along the lines of, you mean Gallo God, the baseball savant king? That's all I wrote. Oh my God, how can you shit on this guy still? What has he done to you? Nothing. I didn't say nothing wrong. That's what he was. That's what I was told he is. I learned baseball savant from Joey Gallo, from it being shared so much. That's where I learned it from.
Pete did not like that website.
I hated that website. Now I use that shit all the time.
I don't know if people remember. I used to go on it to like go a little bit into it and see. And Pete, he's like, I hate that website, man. But to your credit, with the Joey Gallo shit, you had to go and see what the big fuss was about.
Yeah, like, what does all this red mean? All right, let me look into this. Okay. All right. So he's hitting the ball hard, but he's still out. He fucking sucks. I'm like, I don't know. It's unbelievable what's going on. Like, okay. Where's the confirmation here?
He's hitting the cover off the ball. What's happening after he hits it?
I'm not going to be that dude. I'm not going to be that dude that's going to look for tweets and I'm going to, hey, look what you said. No. That's not Pete. I don't care. Pete ain't that dude. I'm not that type. But let me tell you something. I remember that offseason. And I remember every day, all you saw was the Joey Gallo baseball savant page. It was the king to many people. It was God to many people. It was a religion at this point. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, look, I can't really be attacked about that one. But, you know, I still managed to find a way to be attacked today about that. But
it is what it is.
But you know what it is, though? I'm sipping my little tea over here. You know what it is. What's up, my guys? Alex Verdugo and Marcus Stroman. What's good, baby? We see you guys. NYYU, baby. You know the deal, fam.
That's right, man. I'll tell you, that made my weekend, man. Couldn't have been two better guys either. Doogie and Stroman.
I thought I would get more of a reaction from you when you saw Stroman. I thought you'd be like, oh, shit, that's my dude.
No, I was. So it's funny. It was a physical reaction. It didn't come through via the text message or whatever. Okay. But no, in person, I mean, wifey, she's probably watching downstairs. But like, bro, for real, like I was like, oh my God. She was like, what happened? I was like, hold on. And then I played it again. She's like, what are you watching? And she went, and she was like, oh, that's the one that you like. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's him. That's the one that you like.
That's the guy, the one that you like,
isn't it?
I told her, I'm like, I was explaining it to her the other day, like how things work, like kind of like with our team and how like we all kind of have, like we're all Yankees fans, like diehard lunatics about this team. But like we all kind of have guys that like we've stood behind and like put our flag, like, hey, this is my guy, that or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, like Pete with Rodon, like we all love Rodon. We all love him. But I was like, Pete is like, that's his guy. Man.
There's always a guy that kind of hurts you a little more when they do bad.
Exactly.
If they struggle, it hurts a little more.
Exactly. Yeah. And she knows because she's like, if they lose, but it's like, whatever. Like, and she's like, okay, he's upset, but like, whatever. But like the days that they've lost, Stroman starts, I'm like in a horrible mood. Like, I remember the Marlins one. It was just not good, dude. Like, I was just sitting there staring at the TV. Like, yo, the game was game season, post-game season had been done for a while. Yeah. And I'm just there like trying to figure out. I'm going through pitch sequencing in my head, like, Yeah, because that's the thing. If he would have went to the slider there, but he didn't go slider there. And I don't know why he didn't go slider. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Like, just let it. So yeah, bro, Strowman is my fucking guy, bro. Like that shit, that I was super hyped to see that. I've been calling him the swag captain on Twitter, man, because I feel like
he is.
Yeah, man.
He definitely really got that. No doubt about
a lot
it.
Of that to this team. And yo, thank God that our team has some swag, because over the weekend, some of those outfits from the NBA playoffs, Pete. Yo, these
Francis,
dudes look
Francis
crazy.
Is the fashion guy here, all right?
I'm the fashion guy.
He gonna tell you straight up.
This is what I'm into. Yo, these dudes look crazy. I don't want to talk too much because my Knicks, they lost to a dude who showed up in a blouse blazer today. Yo, Pete, my Knicks got packed up by a dude who showed up in a blazer that had
Princess blouses. Was it Prince? It might have been Prince.
He showed up in a Prince outfit.
It might have
really
been a Prince outfit. Yeah, he might have been like, you know what? Prince could play some ball. I'm gonna show up as Prince today and see what happens.
Yeah, he packed us up today, man. But you know what it is, man. Knicks forever, man.
Damn.
But dude, for real. Just getting back to the shout outs for Doogie and Stro,
awesome.
Bro.
It was awesome.
That shit made my weekend. Especially Stro, because that's my guy. But
and more to come too. Doogie too, bro. That's the awesome thing, man. More to come with the way everybody in this chat knows it, man. Guys, you got over 115 here. Do me a favor, smack that like, hit that sub. We are gonna I want to talk about Aaron Judge here too for a second, because you could make an argument that the most important guy that needed to get this offense going was Aaron Judge, and is doing that. You know, besides the two hits he had today in the home run, he also flew out to deep right center two additional times.
True.
Probably you're talking about a slight difference, and he had to have three home runs today, just to be fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he has been hot as hot gets, and I mean, you go ahead and look at the Baseball Savant page. This is a good one from a good ball player, by the way, folks, not Joey Gallo. So this is legitimate, okay? So when you look at this and you look at the things on here, there's a lot of real legitimate shit here, not the stuff with Joey Gallo was pick and choose bullshit. Then it disappeared into a black hole and nobody's ever seen it again. I don't even think you can find it anymore, by the way. I think he's been deleted off the page. You can't find him anymore.
They deleted the God? Oh, no. God, they deleted the God from Savant.
Francis is a nut.
How could they?
You're wild, man. At the end of the day, you look at these numbers right here. I mean, Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge, man. I mean, that's the best way I could put this. For a lot of the people that were concerned, and look, I say it all the time, fan the way you want to fan.
Amen.
You got every right in April to be like, yo, where's my guy? Where's the captain at? Why is he not hitting the homers? What happened to him? You got every right to react that way if that's how you want to react. Now, doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and not say, bro, hold on a second, give him a time, because Judge's numbers could change in a week. And you guys in the chat, you guys notice I said that many times. I said the dude could get hot in 1 week and his numbers could look very, very different. It's the type of talent Aaron Judge is. And you look up at the numbers right now. This is updated now. 235 average, 10 home runs for Aaron Judge. Again, 369 on base percentage, 497 slugging. It's all slowly getting back up to the familiar numbers of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, the guy that we know has finally shown up. And I think that's the big difference that you've seen, I want to say, you know, from last weekend through this weekend, is Aaron Judge has arrived. He's shown up for the 2024 season.
Yep.
Took him a little while. He got lost on the freeway. I don't you know, these things happen sometimes. GPS.
Waze.
He took a wrong exit.
Waze does that shit every
but
now
you know, Waze, it was recalculating or whatever. Or maybe, you know, maybe his phone didn't charge, it didn't have a car charger, so he had the MapQuest and he took a wrong turn.
Oh yeah.
He took a wrong turn. That's but tough. Aaron Judge has finally arrived. And there's no other way to put it, bro. I mean, when he's going, look at that. You guys are seeing it right there. When he's going, that's what it looks like. Those easy power opposite field home runs that, honestly, if you're an opposing pitcher, there's nothing you could do.
No, agreed. Agreed.
When Judge is himself, bro, I mean, look, just good luck. Yep. Walk him. or hope that you that the umpire is giving you like, you know, a couple inches off of the plate and you can beat him that way. But when Aaron Judge is going, that's the only hope.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, man, that's why all of us here, right? We were screaming at the top of our lungs for a while that Aaron Judge needs. Look, because we all, now look, nobody here is going to front and nobody here is going to say that they weren't excited when in 2018 when Stanton joined Judge, because everybody was hype. I was hype about it. You know, everybody I know that was a Yankee fan was like, yo, let's go. This is wild. This is crazy. Let's go. This is going to be big. You know, these two guys together are going to hit, you know, what is it going to be? 90 homers? What is it going to be? Combined together, what are they going to hit? And look, he just hasn't been that dude. And that's not a knock on G. He didn't live up to that. There was a lot more injuries and beat up on his body than the Yankees probably even assumed. I'm more than certain, and I really believe this. And I know some people may say, nah, the Yankees should have did a better job. They should have knew that. I believe the Yankees thought they were getting a guy that could play the outfield at least for a while. In left field that he would manage another 3 or 4 years easy, probably until maybe now, until about 34 years old. Then maybe you transition, right?
They wouldn't have made that trade for a DH. I agree.
They're stupid at times. How old was he? I don't think they're that stupid. He was young. He was 29. What, 28, 29?
Look, like you said, they do stupid things at times.
Yeah, not like that.
To trade for a 29-year-old DH making that kind of money, no. They thought he was going to be in the field.
You're right. I don't think they would have did that. And
they thought he was going to be in the field.
Just to sum up why I'm talking about Stanton here is that he didn't become that guy. Then, of course, as Macho King says, you know, they then passed on Harper because of Stanton. They passed on Manny Machado because of Stanton. And we're all sitting back going, I mean, guys, it's Aaron Judge and what else? I mean, last year it was Gleyber Torres and Aaron Judge were the only guys really being productive. And when the Yankees made the trade of Soto, it was like a weight came off of us because now we're sitting there going, now you're talking. Now you got one of the greatest duos back to back that, you know, on paper that you could put together in Major League Baseball today. And Aaron Judge, of course, started the slow month. Now Soto looks like maybe he's cooled off a little bit. I don't expect that to last. But to have both of these guys back to back, it gives you the confidence. And this is what we talked about going back to the very first roundtable. What do we all say? They just have to pitch good enough because we believe the offense will take over and win this team games.
Yeah.
Hasn't fully happened all the way because the pitch has been so good, but the offense hasn't been there.
It's crazy.
Now it could get there.
It's crazy that you know, you're bringing that up and you bring it up on the eve of our next roundtable, which I couldn't be more excited tomorrow night.
Huge.
It's going to be a freaking movie. And we'll kind of get to like look back at, you know, those takes that we had preseason and let's see how, you know, things are kind of shaping up. And what's funny is the point that you just made. Like, we sat there and said, look, this is a team that's going to have to hang their hat on their offensive prowess because they've got Aaron Judge, they've got Verdugo, they've got Juan Soto now in the fold. You're hoping that Volpe bounces back. Wells, you know, we're hoping that, you know, Wells is going to take that next step.
Facts.
Gleyber Torres, we expected Gleyber Torres was going to be a huge part of this offense, right, early on.
Yeah,
last year. I mean, I'll say it right now. You guys go back to that first roundtable. I predicted that Gleyber Torres was going to have one of the best seasons of his career. Look absolutely asinine right now. Like, I look crazy right now.
Yeah.
Because he's having one of the worst seasons so far.
What is this year similar to? What's the year he had 8 home runs? That was 2021? 2021, I think.
Was that 21? 2 years after
it might have been 21, where he had like 250, 8 homers. He's on pace for something like that, if not maybe even a little worse, which is scary.
Yeah, it's rough. But to be honest, right, like, we made that call, and so far, I mean, the pitching has been what carried us through April.
100%.
The offense 100%. Just started to show up if you really, really start looking at it in May. Like, those two laughers, I mean, the two laughers in Milwaukee, what was that, end of April?
End of April, yeah, 30 runs in 2 games.
And then they went to Baltimore and scored, what was it? 6 runs the whole time?
Runs in 4 games. They got destroyed. 6 runs in 4 disgusting. Games.
So that didn't really wake them up either. But look, so far, you know, so far, it's like, bro, this team has actually had the pitching carry them. And now the offense is waking up. And hopefully it's at the right time because the pitching is starting to show a little bit of wear. If you look at not everybody, but like, again, yesterday's game, You had it there on game season. You know, Nestor, it was you know, it was rough. It was a tough outing for him. He was laboring out there. And, you know, so now that if the offense really starts getting going, hopefully they get going enough to pick, you know, guys like Nestor up when they just don't have it like yesterday.
Yep. Yeah. And look, I mean, I think the one thing that we all have to remember here is what were we expecting from Nestor Cortez? I think that's the big key. A lot of people were expecting that he may be out of the rotation. I was saying that if they got, I was going to say Snell, not Snell, Dylan Cease, that he might be out of the rotation. You know, Nestor may be a guy that is in a bullpen or you deal him or something like that. But we got to remember here too, the Yankees put him as the number one SP. You know, they kind of throw that on him, but can you really look at Nestor Cortez and go, Nestor Cortez has been terrible? I mean, I can't sit here and say he's been terrible. He's had many good outings.
Not at
record
all.
Doesn't show it. I think he's like 1-4, but his record doesn't show it. But yeah, has he been struggled a bit his last couple outings? Yeah. It, you know, the Rays weren't a good matchup. I said it on the game. I also said it the other, I think it was, what game did Stroman just pitch where he gave the couple of homers? That wasn't against the Rays, right?
No, that was
team with good lefties, a bunch of lefties. Hold on. I got it.
Was it the Houston
Astros? Yes.
Yeah, it was the Houston
and
game.
I had a feeling that Stroman
was
the
last
get hit.
Houston game. The last Houston game.
And he pitched a lot better because the first inning was bad. Other than that, he kind of settled down.
He settled down.
But I told everybody in the chat, I said, I worry because one, his command has been off.
Yeah.
And that cutter slider combo against a powerful lefty lineup worries me at Yankee Stadium.
Good lefties, too.
Good lefties.
Tucker, Alvarez. Like
Singleton.
Singleton
may not be great, but throw a pitch over the plate. Exactly. Yeah. That damn thing.
No, you're right. And he fucking murdered that.
I mean, that ball was absolutely launched. And then Nestor,
it's a matchup against good righties.
Yeah, against a good righty team like Yandy Diaz, Rosarena, Isaac Paredes. You're sitting there going, this may not be the most favorable matchup for you. Hopefully, he just kind of gets through it. But I'm comfortable with the Yankees rotation right now. Look, I'm a fan of Marcus Stroman. I like Nestor Cortez. Luis Hill looks unfucking real. Guy looks amazing. Carlos Rodon, I think as every Yankee fan, you got to look at Carlos Rodon and go, we're seeing 97 every now that I believe when it gets hot, he is just going to be stupid out there. I really believe he's going to be one of the Yankees' best pitchers with Cole or without Cole in July, in those months when it really picks up the heat and this dude's a little more loose, the ball's a little more freely coming out, there's a little more sweat on the palms.
Yeah,
I think you're going to see a guy that's even more so nasty because we're seeing the slider looks like it's returned to form. We're seeing the fastball hit 97 at times. We're seeing a cutter mixed in. We're seeing good changeups. I'm happy what we're seeing from this rotation right now.
No, you're right. I mean, the expectations, you have to bring the expectations in when you speak about the rotation because that puts everything into perspective, right? Like, even with Stroman, right?
Yeah.
Guys like Stroman, we're not expecting Stroman to be a guy who goes out there every start and gives you, he's pitching into the seventh of, you know, shutout ball with like 10, 11 strikeouts. Like, that's not who Marcus Stroman is, even though he's striking out a lot more hitters this season. Mm. That's not who Stroman is. He is more of a finesse control pitcher, and he keeps you in games, and he shows up. Like, he's there. Like, his availability, his best ability is kind of like being available in a sense. He's had injuries in the past, but when he's healthy, he's there. He's going to make that start, and he's going to keep you in that game. That's what Stroman does. So far, that's what he's done. He's had a couple blips here and there. Same thing with Nestor. I mean, Nestor, his role so far this season, yes, he's put into the ace slot of the rotation, but we know that he's not an ace, and we're not expecting him to be that. His role is to keep us in games when we're facing the other team's best pitcher right now. And as somebody who's been on the team as long as Nestor and been around, he's a good guy for that role. So, and he's kind of risen to the occasion. I think if you look at his numbers, it's a little bit skewed because the splits between home and away will show you something. Cause I think his road ERA is like over 6.5. So on the road, he's having a bit, you know, he's having a bit of a rough go of it, but he's been pretty good at the stadium. He's had some really phenomenal starts throughout the year. You know, really good starts where he even shocked me, and I'm like, okay, you know, I gotta, you know, shut up on Nestor after this one. He really showed up today,
right?
But he's done what he's done. You know what we need from him thus far: four runs. You know what I'm saying? Four runs from Nestor, getting you into the sixth inning. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. But with the offense that we've put together, we still feel like we have a chance to win those games.
Facts.
And if you look at the Yes Network, the numbers that they put out on Twitter and stuff like that after games, the line of demarcation with this Yankees team in 2024 is three runs, right? That's like, that's the swing, right? We're a different team when we score more than three runs than when we score less than two. Like, when we score more than three runs, those are the Yankees that we want to be. Because when we score more than three runs, we have a ridiculously, you know, good winning percentage where, like, the pitchers are pitching, you know, well and stuff like that or whatever. All the numbers are good. All the peripherals look great. When we score less than three, our record in those games is pretty shitty. Right.
Yeah.
And again, you could say, oh, but you know, in the playoffs, you got to win the close games. Yes, it's true.
Of course.
It's true.
It gets tougher.
But early in the year, that's much easier said than done with the rotation that we have right now, with the people that we have, you know, not available. Gerrit Cole's not here. Those close games are not going to be easy, you know, easy for us to win. And our bullpen, remember, guys, a lot of the guys, the names that are in there, these aren't names that are like staples that have been there forever.
Not at all.
So, you know.
And don't be shocked if some of those names really come back down to earth quite a bit pretty quickly. Oh, I mean, we saw it the other night with Dennis Santana. Yeah. I mean, Dennis Santana got legitimately smacked around.
Yeah.
Ian Hamilton, everybody knows. I said in the chat, I'm like, I don't know. I got to stop playing the Terminator music because, you know, my guy got the talent. He got to get it going. But, you know, he hasn't been the guy that I've wanted to see from him. Nick Birdie, I love Nick Birdie. Everybody knows I was, I think it was like March 6th when I said he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
And he did. I like Nick Birdie a lot, but Nick Birdie, when he doesn't have command,
he's not throwing strikes.
He's not throwing strikes. He's all over the place. I mean, you could. And the problem is, it's not like a Luis Hill where he'll miss slightly off the plate. He'll miss slightly outside. He'll get guys to chase every now and then. He misses so much, you just keep the bat on your shoulder. You're like, all right, yeah, it's not even close. At the hand, it's the ball.
It's non-competitive pitches.
Correct, exactly. They're non-competitive. It's non-competitive pitches. No doubt about that. And that's the big problem, but within all those problems, you still look at where the New York Yankees are. And as of today, they are still half a game back of the Baltimore Orioles. It's amazing to me that the Boston Red Sox are just still right there. They've won two in a row again. Their starting pitching has been really good. And this is a team, you know, I'll bring this up about Boston because a lot of us are saying, you know, it's the Orioles and Yankees. Fair game. I think that's still correct. Mm-hmm. But I think the Red Sox going to be a team to watch at the deadline because they didn't spend no money.
Nope.
They didn't spend no money at all, really. So if that team is still in it, and again, when you got Alex Cora as your manager, and you got a good guy like Cora up top, I think you could very, very much go ahead and look to add to that club, maybe a little bit offensively, whatever it might be, and make that team better. So I wouldn't sit there and just go that Boston has no chance. You know, they got the lowest team ERA in baseball. They're doing something right over there. I wouldn't totally count a team like that out because you don't know what happens at the deadline.
Yeah.
But the Yankees and the Orioles look like the teams to beat in the East. It looks it's going to be a head-to-head battle. And that is exactly why we were so upset with the 3-4 losing. And now there's talks, and I want to get your opinion on this. That is talks about Boston, about Baltimore maybe looking to trade for a guy like a Mason Miller and give up a lot of prospects to go for one of the best closers right now in baseball.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? You think that's actually a possibility?
I'll be honest with you. If you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, I would have laughed. Like, hell no. They're not. They got a better chance of them trading away Jackson Holliday than them going for Mason Miller, right?
Right.
But in 2024, I said it on Friday's All Rise, these ain't your father's Orioles. This is a different team, new ownership. They have a new vision. Their you know, front office has even been revamped. They've got a youth injection that is ridiculous. I mean, Lasagna makes me laugh when he says they have like a 3D printer. They're 3D printing.
They all look the same. These
baseball prospects that just come and rake. And it's like, bro, this is a different team. And when you have that kind of energy around a team, it behooves the office to say, you know what, let's go for it, because baseball is a very funny sport. for organizations like Baltimore, who have historically, I'm going to say historically because we don't know what their new profile is going to be with the new ownership, but historically haven't spent that much money and been a smaller market team. You have to take advantage of the opportunities you get. Last year, say what you want to say, they won the division, everything or whatever, but I know that they felt like that was a missed opportunity. They played way too well in the regular season for them to have felt like it was okay to get swept like that. Yeah. So they're playing well. Like here they are in 2024 playing well again, but now the Yankees are back. And it's like, if you're Baltimore, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Like we, if our biggest struggle right now is we don't got a guy that we can really, really trust to nail down those close games. And this guy's out there and we got the prospect capital to do it. It wouldn't shock me if they went and did it. It really wouldn't.
I believe it would have to be an overpay. Would they be willing to do that? It's probably going to look, they got like the most top 100 prospects in baseball. Would they sit there and go, we'll give you three of these guys? I mean, yeah. I know Everyday Scott Wright says no reason for Oakland to make that trade unless it's an overpay. I agree, but I also disagree in a sense. The reason why, does Oakland, honestly, Oakland has any chance over the next couple of years? Is anybody, they don't even know where the hell they're playing baseball. At the end of the day, if I'm Oakland and I'm saying, hey, look, this team is actually willing to offer us three top 100 prospects for Mason Miller. Mason Miller throws very, very hard. I don't want to put this on anybody. Tommy John's a scary thing. You know, I mean, what is he a year away from it? I hope not. I'm not saying he is, but there's the concern there. If this guy is where he's at now, it's a part of the game. Yeah, if a team would offer me, if this is all hypothetical, if a team comes calling and goes, yo, three top prospect, three top 100, you choose. I got five of them. You choose three of them you can have and we'll make the deal now. You got to seriously sit there and go, how do we not make this move? Because what are we winning? Yeah. We know it. I mean, let's be honest here. We're not winning. We don't know where we're playing.
And to be honest, I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, he's probably your most viewed player, your most marketable player right now. If you're Oakland, like he's the name on Oakland that everybody knows right now. It's true. But let's be honest. How many teams do you guys remember being marketed around their closer? Like the closer doesn't play every day. You don't know when the closer is going to play.
Yep.
Like literally you buy tickets to a game. And if you like the closer, you're hoping that you see the closer, but you don't know that you're going to see them. You don't know how the game's going to play out. And if there's going to be a safe situation, if the guy pitched yesterday, if he's going to be able to go the next day, teams don't build marketing strategies around the guy at the back of the bullpen, the closer. Now, once you have like the position players and the starters and things like that, yes, obviously, if you have a closer who's lights out and comes in, whatever, you add him to that marketing and you market him, you give him a nice entrance, you know, t-shirts, merch and all that shit.
Right.
But you can't, again, right now, Oakland's just not in the position to say, no, you know, like Mason Miller, he's going to be our star. It's like, like again, it would be some Oakland shit to do, but it wouldn't do much for them because of all the other problems that they have going on around the organization. So if you're like,
that's my point. Yes.
If you're ownership and somebody's coming to you with three top 100, let's be honest,
which is an overpay for a relief pitcher. Let's be honest. That's why I'm saying that. It is an overpay for a relief pitcher.
But Pete, let's be honest. If it's two top 100s and two more mid-level guys 100%, that are lottery
you
tickets,
seriously consider it.
Lottery tickets, like two, tell me two top 100 prospects and then two international prospects who are super young with hella upside.
Yeah.
You got to take a long, hard look at that because
no question,
you're not competing this year, probably not competing next year. And again, it's not to shit on them because they are better this year.
They got a great manager. Mark Kotze said it. He said, this team's going to play good baseball. They're not going to, you know, we're not coming in there knowing what. Yeah. We were at the game against the Yankees. They look like a good look. They can't hit a lick. We understand that. I mean, you look at their run differential is -32. I mean, this is a team that shouldn't be where they are right now. And they are. You know, to their credit, they are where they are right now. But like Francis said, you got to look at the overall organization and the reality of the situation they're in. And again, we're not saying that this deal is going to happen, but all I'm saying is, would they consider it and would Baltimore do something like that? Or would Baltimore more sit back and go, you know what? There's probably going to be others available a lot cheaper. We can make multiple deals and try to improve this team overall. But If I'm Baltimore, I know again, and that is a possibility. Yeah, I am checking on that situation to see if it is a possibility. And if it is,
oh, hell yeah,
it's a tough thing for Baltimore to say no when they got an ace on top of their rotation. They got John Means back. They got Bradish back. I mean, they're looking like a very strong ball club if they shore up that bullpen a little bit, especially late in games.
Yeah.
They're a formidable team to play against, and the Yankees have their hands full with them, as they got their hands full also with the Yankees. It's going to be a lot of back and forths. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months. I know the Yankees deadline also is going to be a very interesting time, because who the hell knows what they'll need, what they're going to do. You know, you start looking around, you think of infielders potentially, second base even, maybe third base. What upgrades could come there? We don't know, but
bullpen, we can be in the market for the pen too. You never know.
Exactly. We got a super chat here from our guy, a Crackle Nuts. He said, "What up, Mr. Hollywood Francis Lee? How many grandmas did you book at the restaurant today? I couldn't get a table today. Designated spitters is the best."
Mid-card Crackle, man. My guy,
mid-card.
You know, I got to take all the grandmas out. It's Mother's Day, baby. It's their day too. It's Grandmother's Day. You know what I'm saying?
This guy loves him some grandmothers, let me tell you.
Yes, sir.
He absolutely loves him some grandmothers. My guy LV says, "I love Francis's return and the addition of Johnny Lasagna." Let me tell you something. They ain't nothing like NYYU, fam. Nothing like NYYU, baby.
Best team in the business, baby. That's why we got all the haters.
In the business. The haters, I love them.
We love the haters on this side.
We do.
But to me, that's just a sign that we're doing something right. And that's what 100%. It is, man. They love the team. Deep down inside, guys, if you ever see anybody hating on Pete or me or Lasagna or Mario.
Can you not love these two guys? Look at us.
If you see them hating on us, deep down when nobody's looking, they love us.
Facts.
They love our shit.
All day.
They watch
day.
All of it. They love it.
Macho King said Francis is a class act. This guy's Francis. This guy's all class. He's all class over here. Let me tell you. I want to read what Sports Guru just said, because look, Sports Guru, he's not wrong. He said Clay Holmes right now is the best closer. He is.
In baseball?
I don't know about it. Baseball, but I guess the numbers, right? But based on the numbers alone, the guy got a zero ERA.
He's got a zero ERA. Yeah, he sucks.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to make that argument when the numbers are the numbers. It really is now. Yeah. You know, one thing that Kev talks about a lot, Kev says that if you look at his career, there's only like a couple of months where he kind of slows down a lot, maybe based off the workload or whatever it might be. I think August is one of the big ones when he slows down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, man, who the hell doesn't want to see Clay Holmes do good? I mean, that's the thing.
That's a fan, right?
And let me just say something real quick about baseball. And I've talked about this so many damn times, and people just whatever, man. This is why I say I'm never that type that's gonna say, "Hey, you said this, and look what happened now." That's the dumbest argument in the world in baseball. Do you know how much baseball changes? For an example, look at today's game. Today's game was 6-0 into the bottom of the seventh inning. And it literally looked like this was going to be a game you put your feet up and you go to Yankees one easy. It's an easy win. Nice. Big grand slam. Three pitchers used. Can't get nobody out. By the time you look up, it's a 6-5 ball game.
Mm-hmm.
This is baseball. There's a lot of people out there that was going out there yelling and screaming, right? And what are they saying? Aaron Judge is done. He's the new Stanton. Aaron Judge is this. Aaron Judge is that. Well, look how quick that changed. We might be saying the same thing about Gleyber Torres after 2 weeks. You do not know. Fact of the matter is, baseball is that type of game. It's the longest season of all. Mm-hmm. Shit can change in 2 weeks. Things could change in 2 days. Things could change in 3 months. It's a long season to sit there and go, "Well, every year, my early season predictions, by the end of the year, Jesus Christ, they were spot on. How did I do it every year?" Doesn't work that way. It's a very, very difficult game to predict. That's baseball, Susan. That's the reason John said it. It's hard to predict.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. I think at the end of the day, that's why it's fun. You know, a lot of content creators, you'll see us, you know, towards the end of the season, go back and kind of revisit some of our takes early on because of how wrong they are. And it's entertaining because all of us content creators do it. The reason that we get such credit when we call something that comes to fruition at the end of a season is because how hard it is to call something like
Bingo,
that in
exactly.
baseball.
Exactly.
Case in point, not just with the Yankees. Look, take it off the Yankees for a second. Going into this season, everybody probably, you know, if you play fantasy baseball, you know this for sure. If not, you'll still get it. Everybody probably predicted Ronald Acuña Jr., this guy's going to be lights out. He's going to be, you know, he's going for an MVP. He's going to whatever, this, that, the third, all of that, right?
Yep.
Started slow. He's starting slow. Doesn't look like himself. You know, hit a couple home runs here later, whatever, but hasn't been that good. Been kind of mid, really, if you're looking at him. Been kind of mid. You just can't call it. This is a guy who going into the season on MLB Network is being touted as an MVP candidate. He's having a mid year.
Facts.
It's just, again, I said Gleyber Torres, I thought Gleyber Torres was going to have the best season of his career in 2024.
Yeah.
He's been ass. There's no way to call it sometimes.
No ifs, ands, or buts around
and,
it.
And
not
what you
at
said
all.
About today's game is a testament to what baseball is and will always
yep.
be. This is why it's my favorite sport. This is why I love it. I live it. I bleed it.
It's the best.
Because with a 6-0 lead, like you said, we want to put our feet up, kick up, say, hey, yo, we got this one, right?
Yeah.
Run the clock out, right? You can't. This is not football. Mm-mm. This is not basketball. You cannot run the clock out in baseball. You have to play it out.
That's another reason today, right? I'm sitting there and people are going, I can't believe Pete's defending Aaron Boone. It's not about defending him. Mm. Three relief pitchers couldn't get three outs.
Exact. That's
what, like, I'm sorry. I'm not. Again, I call it as I see it. And in the moment, if I had an issue, I'd say it. I didn't because there was no issue in my part.
Yeah.
Three guys couldn't get outs. One of them being Luke Weaver that one inning who hit a batter to drive him in, who's been one of our best guys.
He's been one of the best.
Sometimes it should happen now. Like I told everybody, if your beef is after Caleb Ferguson had the bases loaded, you wanted to take him out then, okay, fair game. That I kind of understand. I could say, all right, that's okay if you want to discuss that. I personally didn't. But if you wanted to say that, fine, no big deal. But in a situation like that, it is extremely hard to go to one guy, he doesn't do the job. I'm going to go to another guy, he doesn't do the job. Let me get one of my best guys, and he doesn't do the job. What are you supposed to do in that situation? So I'm not defending. I'm simply calling it as I see it. In that regard, I did not see the problem. It's 6-0. Some people say, well, he needs to go to his best guys then. 6-0?
No.
Why?
He went to the right guy. To be honest with you, people are probably going to kill me for saying this. If I would have saw Tonkin to start that inning,
I wouldn't have been upset.
I would have been like, okay, yeah, 6-0, 7th. You know, let's try to steal some outs here with Tonkin. Maybe, you know, get into, you know, the 8th. And if he gives up one or two, you know, no big deal type shit. But he went Ferguson. He did better than he even had to, if you think about it. And it didn't work out. And then he went to Birdie. You know, Birdie's just coming off of the IL, his little rehab stuff. Okay, cool. He didn't get it done. He said, okay, let's stop fucking around. We're going to go to the Dreamweaver, one of our most reliable thus far this year. He hits the guy. It's like, you can't, at that point, if anybody saw that, it was like, ah, Boone. Like, yo, it's, guys, you can't blame Boone for that. Like, that's where you have to blame the players. That's where it's
100%.
Like, hey, guys, somebody out of you three had to figure out how to get three outs here.
Francis, you said something there that summed up the whole original arguments of going to Tonkin in this situation when it was the Clay Holmes game, when he should have came in and finished and got the win.
Yes.
What did Francis just say there? Francis just said that is when you use a guy like Tonkin.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is when you use a guy like Tonkin. You try to steal outs. When, God forbid, if something happened, you could say, go back to the pen, bring somebody else, and let's try to figure this out now.
You pull the eject button. Yeah.
Exactly. That's when you do it. You don't do it with being up by one run to close out a game.
Because there was no eject. There was no eject button.
It's either
That's why we were so upset.
Bingo. Exactly.
Like, how do you get out of this? I was like, Boone, how do you get out of this?
You can't. I want to call out a comment here. Nothing bad, but I don't understand what they're trying to say. Was it deleted? No. White Lotus says, Judge got treatment. Plain and simple. You know that, Pete. What is that supposed to mean exactly?
Treatment?
Yeah, what is the treatment he got? I'm confused, and I'm supposed to know it. I don't know it. I would like to be a little bit elaborate on that one.
Is he talking about, like, like the regular maintenance that he's getting because of the toe injury and all that
stuff? I don't know. I'm guessing. My assumption is I don't really know. I don't understand exactly what that meant, that he's getting treatment, but
please clarify, Mr. Lotus.
Joe says, an ass rub from Boone. White Lotus says a cortisone shot. Oh, okay. If that's potentially, I don't know. I don't know if that was announced, but if he did, then yeah. I mean, a cortisone shot might have been needed. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if he did, but White Lotus is assuming. I don't know.
Shoot. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. Yeah, you know, the mid spring beat up. Maybe he had some, I don't know, mid May beat up. I don't.
14 at bats. 14 at bats. I love it. I love it. Oh, I absolutely love it. But no, man, guys, tomorrow is a big, big day for us.
Yes, sir.
I want to let everybody know about that, because tomorrow is a huge day. The Yankees do not play, but at 8:30, I need everybody tuned in, because we have the Knights at the Round Table tomorrow. It is going to be an amazing show. We will have voicemails. We're discussing everything. The first 40 plus games. You know, we're going over the surprises. We're going over the disappointments. We're going over the top starting pitchers, from the bullpen to the rotation. Everything that we can talk about, where the team is right now, how we feel about it, how we feel about it going forward, changes, all of that fun stuff. We're going to discuss all of it. Start time is 8:30. It will be me. It will be Francis, Mario, Kev, Dane, and Johnny Lasagna. We are ready to go, guys. Macho King said he already started writing his voicemail, so he's ready to rock and roll. My guy writes voicemails out. That's how you know how dedicated he is. He absolutely writes the voicemails out. That is my guy. But no, man, that is going to be a big show. I can't wait for it. I hope you guys are all ready for it, because I am. 8:30 sharp, man. We got you guys covered. Again, we don't just say what we say for no reason. Ain't nobody doing what we're doing. And it's just It's just fact. It's just fact. I'm sorry. It is. It's just fact. And we're going to keep doing it. We hardest workers in the business nonstop. We keep doing our thing every day, day in and day out. But that's going to be a big show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm super excited. I can't wait just to look back to the first round table.
I may not sleep.
I don't blame you, bro, because when we get together, man, it's a party every time, man. So y'all don't want to miss it. But I don't got to tell you guys that. You guys always show up and show out. It's a Yankees off day. So, listen, there's no better place to be.
Ain't nothing to do. Connor O'Neill says, do you guys tell Francis 7:30 so he's on time? Yes.
Yes. Connor?
We do. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't only going to say Francis. I'm also going to say Kev. Because Kev's ass be coming off 5 minutes before, 8 minutes before. Be like, oh, yeah. No, I'm here. He'll be like, I'm coming on now. 20 minutes goes by, there's Kev popping in. Me and Mario have been talking and going over the show for 3 hours. Oh, Kev is just popping out of nowhere. Yes, but anyway, guys, man, this has been another episode of DS. Francis, lead us on out, baby.
Yeah, I already know, baby. The Yankees take 2 of 3 from the Tampa Bay Rays. We're battling. We're doing it. We're killing shit. Offense is waking up. Pitching is surviving. And that's all we can ask for from the New York Yankees. I hope I see all of you beautiful people who are in the chat today. Before we leave, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell the chat to send those happy Mother's Day, you know, greetings and wishes to our very own MVP Jira, who's in the chat.
Yeah.
Working on her day. Shouts out to MVP. So that's what I'm talking about. Make sure y'all say happy birthday.
happy Mother's Day. Okay. Well, happy Jira. Birthday action. All right.
Before we go, but y'all already know, man, it's the best in the business. NYYU designated spitters. Keep it locked and stay tuned, because the next episode will be the best episode.
I love that outro. So it's just perfect, man. I missed classic, it all those, that little bit of time there. I really missed it, but
yeah.
I was about to say the next episode is the best episode.
Gonna say it too,
guys, you
down.
Already know the deal. We will never come whack on a designated spitters track. Until next time, guys, we are out. We will see you guys tomorrow, 8:30. Do not miss it. Got you guys covered. Nights at the Round Table, 8:30 p.m. tomorrow. Mark it on your calendar. See you guys then, baby. Peace.
It's heavy. Famous love. Yeah, I gotta keep it trendy on my soul. I'm the most selfish person that I know. Here we go, down the rabbit hole. Got a couple carrots around my neck. Self-respect, when you out of line, you put yourself in check. They don't hear me, they don't hear me though. Cycles going round and round and round like a merry-go. Stand for truth or fall for any old scenario. That's why I keep my circle smaller than a Cheerio. Cause this the company you keep. Stay woke, please don't get caught slick. End up sowing what you reap. Know your worth and don't sell cheap. The ghost is inside of me, can't take it out of me. No matter where I've been, it's about where I'm meant to be. I be shining perfect.